Okay, today's that Ayin Beis. We are in Ayin Aleph on the Beis towards the bottom by the Me'il. So we're discussing basically the thread count of the certain items in the Beis Hamikdash. There's a certain of the Beit HaKohuna. How many the ply, I guess? How much is in the in each string?
Thread.
So, right.
Thread.
The thread count in the string.
Right.
Okay. So Martin Mishnah says about the Me'il. The Me'il, the strings of the Me'il, right? The Me'il are made up of 12, right? 12 count, right? Haminolan. How do we know that? Diksiv, because it says, Vasisa es Me'il ha'ifod, you make the Me'il, which is like the tunic or the coat, the Me'il for the ephod, which holds the ephod, Kliel techeles. So it's Kliel techeles. So what's that? So Rashi says Kliel is Gedil, right? Gedil, what we said before, is something that's made out of two. Right, that Rashi says, right, ein gedil pachos mishnayim. So that equals two. So every string of the Me'il, whatever what you have in the Me'il, is going to be doubled. The yalif, and we learned the Me'il, gzeir shava, techeles from paroches. You take the word techeles here, and you take the word techeles by the paroches, where there it also says techeles. So malo halon, where in the paroches, every min that's in there is doubled, is six. Because over there we talked about, we had shesh. Said the word sheish means six. Afkan, so to hear, every string has six. So therefore, that we had gedil, which is two, and two times six gives us our 12. That's what we say. Right? Afkan, here, everything is afkan shisha times the two, which is keflayim, gives us six. So the Gemara says, okay, why are you learning it from the paroch? Why are you learning it from the paroches? Learn, because there's word techeles. But the word techeles appears elsewhere. So learn the gezeirah shavar for the mi'il. The word techeles from shulav rimonav, from the hem and the pomegranates that were on the bells and on the bottom of the coat, and say as follows: malahalim by the rimonim, by the bells over there, it's shmona. There we just learned before yesterday that it's an 8 thread count. So then you would have 8 times 2, which would get us 16, right? Afkan shmona, and therefore now it would be 8. So why are you learning it from a place that teaches you 6 thread count? Learn it from a place that teaches you 8 thread count, and this way you'll get 16 as opposed to 12. You want to know it's easier like this, because Danim, we're going to learn kli, more of a utensil. The Me'il is a kli, mikli, right? You're going to learn the Me'il, which is a kli, from a kli. The Ein Danim kli, mitachshis. And you're not going to make tachshik kli. And you're not going to learn the kli from an adornment of the kli. The Rimonim are the actual beged. It's an adornment. It's something that's put on extra. The Me'il is its own thing, and the paroches is its own thing. So learn the paroches, learn the Me'il from the paroches, not the Me'il from the Rimonim, which are just an adornment. So the Gemara says, Adarabba, maybe I'll learn the other way around. Why? Say it outside first. The Me'il is the Me'il, and the Rimonim are on the Me'il. So learn something that's on the Me'il to the Me'il, as opposed to learning something that's off the Me'il to teach me about the Me'il. It says, Adarabba, Dunim gufo mi gufo. Learn something in the body from the body. Learn something from the Me'il from the Me'il. The Rimonim from the Me'il will teach me about the Me'il, and as opposed to learning from the paroches, which is not part of the Me'il, to teach me about the Me'il. So the Gemara says, no, Hainu dam rinan. This is what we said before. We said, I think yesterday we said that we said the word sheish multiple times. One time the word sheish was there to teach us l'shar begadim shlonem rahem sheish. It comes to teach us additionally that there's another beged that doesn't have the word sheish written in it, that it also only has six, and that's going to be the Me'il. So I think from here we sort of don't learn the Gezeirah Shavah anymore, because the Gezeirah Shavah can get messed up, because you can say you can learn the Gezeirah Shavah from the Rimonim. It's just the Gezeirah Shavah from the fact that it said the word sheish a bunch of times elsewhere. One of them was to teach us that there are places where even though the word sheish doesn't appear, it's still only going to be six, and therefore we still have our six times two, which gets us our 12. Then the Gemara says, the paroches, right? The paroches has 24. I guess the threading of the strings in the paroches has 24. How do we know that? It's arba'a. It's six different types of items that go into the paroches. It's tcheles, agarmon, tolashani, vishesh. Those four things. The shita, each time six, because that's where we learned that every place where it says sheish, it means six. So we have six threads times the four items, 6 times 4, gets us our 24, and the Gemara here says, lo dina v'lo dayana. This is no kashas on. Lo dina dayana, there's no suffix, there's nothing to get up to try to mess this one up. That's a clear one. Then the Gemara says, choshen v'efod. right? The choshen and the ephod, they are thread with 28 strings. It's 28. So the Gemara says, Minolan. How do we know that it has 28? So the ksiv, because it says, Basisa choshen mishpat, maise choshev, kimase ephod taseno. So you make the choshen mishpat, which is a maise choshev. We'll see what that is. It's made like the ephod. Zahav, tcheles, argaman, tolashani, vishesh mazar. Okay? So you have here arba, it's four minim, which is the argaman, tolashani, sorry, it's the tcheles, argaman, tolashani, and the shesh, it's four. The shita shita, which gets you to 24, it's from the arba. And zahav, and within each group, you have to string one strand of gold. Right? So that's another four strands of gold into the four different ingredients. Asriva arba, zahav arba, ha esriva tamya. There you have 28. So the Gemara says, wait a second. Ema zahav nami shisha. Why are you saying now? It says the word shesh, which tells you that each of the ingredients in the string is by six. And yet the zahav, you're telling me it's only one string. Maybe the zahav is also six strings. And I'll have five ingredients with six strings, which gets me to 30. Why am I only going up to, what, right, zahav nami? Right, so why am I only going up to 28? So the Gemara, right, so maybe it's just all mixed together. Why are you saying there's only one Zahav string put into each of the five ingredients, into each of the four ingredients? Maybe it's just another ingredient, which would have six more strings, would have six of Zahav, which would get me 30. So the Gemara says, I'm not sure I understand this, Amar of Acha Bar Yaakov, Amar Kra, the Pasuk says, when you make the gold, it says, Vayaku es Pachay Azov, Vikitzetz Pisilim, right, and he says, Psil, Psilim, Harekan arba. Somehow with the word psilim, it's kut should be teach you, it's written in plural, and somehow it gets you to four. I don't know what the limit is. Rashi doesn't really say anything. But it says psil, right? It says the key says psilim, right? Somehow the word psilim will teach you that you fold one into two, which gets you four. I don't know, I'm not sure what the lima is. They have a lima that teaches you that the zav doesn't get threaded in as its own ingredient. It gets threaded in, one string of zav gets threaded into each of the other four ingredients. And therefore, you have four strings of zav because one is going into each of the ingredients, which will raise the 24 thread count to a 28 thread count. Okay. Rav Ashi Amar, Rav Ashi has a different answer. Again, the same question is, why is the zav just one thread threaded amongst the four ingredients, as opposed to being its own ingredient of six. Rav Ashi Amar Amakra, the pasuk says by the strings of the zav, it says la'asos b'socha tcheles u'b'socha argamon. It's made within the tcheles, within the argamon, and the pasuk continues b'socha solas hashani b'socha sheish, which I thought that's pretty straightforward. It's woven into it, right? So heichi navid, how do you do it? Navid arba'a, if you do. Four trey utrey habile tanya. Somehow, if you do it, it'll come to eight navich. The Gemara is just confused on how you're going to thread the gold into the other ingredients. So it says at first, it says, well, maybe you'll put two into each of it. I don't know why. Maybe you fold it over, it becomes two. So if you fold it over, it becomes two. So then you'll have eight strings. If you do some two and some one, that doesn't work either. Navich trey. Navi trey the trey utrey utrey the chad chad can't be vasisa so you call us your shavos. All the threading of the gold has to be the same amongst everything else. How do you do it? You put one. Again, I don't understand how those limudim work. Right? End of the day, when it comes to the chosh and the ephod, it's 28 thread count because you have the four ingredients times six, which is sheish, which is 24. Plus, within each ingredient, you thread one string of gold, so that's another four, which gets you to the 28. Okay. Amar, done with the thread count. Amar Rachava, Amar Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda says the name of Rav Yehuda, Hamikareya Bigdei Kahuna. If someone purposely, I guess, tears the Bigdei Kahuna, you violate a los asei, viloke, and you'll get malchus for violating a los asei. As the pasuk says by the Mi'il, it says, V'hayo pi rosho besocho safa yelu piv saviv, lo yikareya. It should not be torn. Don't tear it. So Mar says, who says that means there's a lav to not tear it? Maybe what the pasuk is telling you, make the me'il in a certain way so that there's enough room to get the head in so that when you put it on, it won't rip. So Mar says, how do you know it's telling you about a lav? Right? The pasuk. So Gemara answers, Maskif lo Rav Acha bar Yaakov, Vil Dilma Hachikam Rachmana. Maybe this is the intention of what the Torah is saying. Navid lo Safa, do this hem, ki heichid lo nikareya. Make this hem in a way, make the opening big enough that it won't tear. Who says it's a lav? So Gemara says, no, miksiv shelo yikareya. If that's the case, it would say, make it a certain way so that it doesn't tear. Shelo, with the extra shin. It doesn't say that. It says, lo yikareya. You should, which is more of an imperative. It's a command. Do not tear it. So that's why he learns out that there's a lav if you tear the big day kahuna. The Amar Rav Elazar, Rav Elazar says, Hameziach, which I think it means to separate. Hameziach, the connection between the choshem and the ephod, right? You have the choshem, which is the breastplate, which is connected to the ephod, connected to the tunic. If you sever that connection somehow, if you take that off, you're also going to violate a lav. And similarly, Hamasir Badei Aron, if you remove the poles of the Aron, or the Aron, where everything's kept, it had these poles that were used to carry, the Kohanim would use to carry and to travel. If you take those out, also you violate. Shenemar, the Pasuk says, by the Choshen, it says, by Yikasuas HaChoshen Mitabasavach, the Bosla Ephod, below Yizach HaChoshen Me'al Ephod, the Choshen should not be removed from the Ephod. And by the Aron, it says, Lo Yasuru, it says, Mitabos Yehobadim, Lo Yasuru Men, do not remove them. So the Gemara again has learned that there is a lav to separate the choshen from the ephod, and there's a lav to remove the poles from the holes that it's holding for the aron. So Gemara asks again, how do you know it's a lav? Maybe just telling you, making a certain way so that it doesn't come to the poles coming out, so that it doesn't come that the choshen falls off of the ephod. That's what Gemara says. Maskla racha bar Yaakov, v'dilma hachikam rachmana, chadiknuhu, I guess, stick it together, sew it together, va'avidnu shapir, and make it a strong connection, kidei shelo yizach v'shelo yasiru. Make it such that they don't fall off. They don't separate. How do you know it's a lav? Again, the Gemara says, miksiv shelo yizach or v'shelo yasiru. Doesn't say with the shin, which means lest it come to, that you should prevent it from happening. It says it without the shin, which is low, which is an imperative. Do not do this. So that's why they learn that if you remove the choshen from the ephod, or remove the poles from the Aron, you violate a lav. All right, now that we're talking about the Aron, we'll digress into the Aron. Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina Rami. Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina compares, or he contrasts and makes points out a contradiction between two psukim. Siv, it says one pasuk by the poles of the Aron, Bitabos ha'aron yuhu abadim lo yasur menu. In the rings of the Aron, you need to place the poles. Lo yasur menu, they may not be removed. So now that says you can't take the poles out. Uksiv, and another pasuk says, "Buhuva es bada b'tabaos." It doesn't say v'samta, right? It says "buhuva," which is mashma, apparently, that after you put the batim inside, they would go back and forth. "Buhuva" comes and goes. So it's "buhuva," which is mashma that the batim are coming out, and then you bring them back in, which is mashma, apparently, that the poles do come out of the rings. So do they not, or do they? What's the story? So the Haketzad. So the Gemara says, how does it work? Misparkin the Einish Matim. So there's, I guess, slack in the poles that they could slide up and down, I guess, make it easy for storage, but they didn't come out, which means, I guess, that the middle part of the pole was thinner than the outer part of the pole, which gave you room to maneuver the poles backwards and forwards within the ring, but at a certain point, the pole was too thick that it would not come through the ring. Therefore, so yes, the poles move within the ring, but they don't move to come off of the ring. Right? They ain't nishmatim, they can't come out. The Gemara says, Tainan Hachi, we have a brace that teaches us as well. The Pasuk says, same exact name, but Tabos Ha'aru Yo'abadim, right, Lo Yasuru, Yochel Lo Yo'ezazim Koman, you would think they don't move at all. Tamaloma, Behuva Es Badab Tabos. He said, they do move, they slide back and forth. Then it says, Behuva Es Badab, Yochel Nechnasim Yo'ezim, you would think that maybe they can come in and out of the rings. Tamalomer batabos aron yobadim lo yasuri menu. They can't come out. Haketzah, has that work? Misparkin, which means, again, they can move from side to side. They can slide, but einish matim. But they can't slide out. They can't come out of the rings. So now that we talked about the aron, we'll talk more about other kelim in the Mishkan. Amar Rabbi Chama b'Rabbi Chanina, madik siv, what is the pasuk? When the pasuk says, vasisa sakrashim, which I think it means the beams. And so the beams that are standing outside, these are krashim, atzei shitim omdim. This type of wood, but they're omdim, they're standing. What does the word omdim teach us? The Gemara is going to give us three possibilities. that when you put the beams in, you put them the way they grow, so that the part of the beam that came out of the wood, that came out of the ground, is on the ground, and the part of the wood that was growing out is standing out in the air, so that's omdim. Dover acher, another thing is omdim, shema'amidim et sipuyon. Omdim teaches you that they are a support. What that means is that the plating that's on top of them is supported by the wood. They're omdim. They're ma'amid something else. Dover acher, omdim, which is interesting, shema tomar, omdim would mean here, omdim means forever. Which means shema tomar, you would think that when the Ohel Moed and the Mishkan was put away in Geniza, right? The Mishkan was never destroyed. The Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. The Mishkan was just taken apart when it came time to build the Beis HaMikdash. So you would have thought, Avot Sivron, Ubiltu Sikuron, we'll never see them again. We'll never see the Krushim again. Talmud Lomar, the Pasuk then says, Omdim, Sha'odim Olam Olamim. They stand there forever, and I guess we'll see them again sometime when the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt. I'm not sure what the Krushim are going to be used for. The whole point of those were because it was for the temporary Mishkan. They take them apart and put it back together. So I don't know what we're going to use them for in the Beis HaMikdash. Mar is saying that they're not gone and lost forever. They're omdim and they will come back. The pasuk says when describing the big day kahuna, it says big day hasrad l'saresh b'kodesh. It describes the big day kahuna as big day srad. Srad is like leftover, right? Intake or a piece that's left over. It's a srad. So why is the big day kahuna described as such? So the Gemara says, Il Mole, it's because the Big Day Kahuna provide kapara. Il Mole, had it not been for the Big Day Kahuna, lo nishtayer misoneim shel Yisrael srida palit. They wouldn't be left over from the enemies of Israel, which is a euphemism for Bnei Yisrael. They wouldn't be left over from Bnei Yisrael srida palit. Anybody left over. The Big Day Kahuna, I guess, are providing this kapara. That is one answer. Rabbi Shmuel, again, why is called Big Day Kahuna called Big Day Srat? Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani Amar, he says, quoting the Bei Rabbi Shimon Tana, he's quoting from the Beis Medrash of Shimon Abraisa, that says that what is that big day? Shegordin osan kibriyason mikileyem. So he says these are the type of clothing that are made complete while on the loom. The big day Sarat, I guess, that they're owned him, that would usually you take a piece off the loom and you sew it together afterwards. Here the entire beged is somehow completed while it's on the loom. So therefore, however, but you just leave over, a leftover, a big day srad, you leave over just this little bit to sew it together onto the clothing. So the Gemara says, what is that? What's this little piece that's left over? Reish Lakish Amar Elu Masei Machat. Something that's done with the needle. Part of the beged, which isn't woven on the loom, is made by a needle, and afterwards you put them together. So that's why it's called big day srad. So they ask on Rabbi Shlakish, how can you say that some of the Big Day Kahuna are threaded with a needle? Meisvei, we have a price that says Big Day Kahuna ain't osim osam maisei machat. They're not sewn like that. Elo maisei ariga, they're orei, which is on the loom. So how are you saying that there's a part that's sewn on? Shenemar, the pasuk says maisei orei, which means they're made on the loom. So Amar Abaye lo nitzricha, that's not needed. Elo lebeis yad. For the base yard, which I think means the sleeve. That's how sleeves? Okay. Lo nitzecha ela base yad shalahem. The sleeves. So apparently the whole body is made on the loom. The sleeves are made separately. And then those sleeves are sewn onto the body of the clothing. Kidasan, you have a price that says, base yad shal bitei kahuna, the base yad bitei kahuna are neregas me'atzmo. They're made separately by themselves. Vinidbekes, I mean they're sewn together, imabeged, umagas ad pisas hayad. It gets to the hands or something like that. Well, up to the wrists. That's how long it has to be, right? Josh has to make sure it's hemmed right up to the wrist and no longer. Okay. Now again, talking about the Aron. So Gemara goes to the Aron. Amar Rachba, Amar Rav Yehuda, Shalosh Aronos Asa Betzalel. So when he made the Aron, when Betzalel made the Aron in the Midbar, it wasn't just one Aron. It was three boxes. One within another and the other within that. It's three boxes. You have an outer box, a middle box, and then an inner box. Shalosh aronos asa betzalel, right? Emtsoi shel eitz. The middle aron, the middle one inside, is made out of wood. It's made out of wood, and its height is tisha tvachim. It's 9 tvachim high. Okay? Because the pasuk says, vasu aron asheshitim. Make the aron out of wood, right? Amah v'chetzi komaso, and amah is 6 tvachim. 1.5 times 6 gives you 9. So it's 9 tvachim. Pnimi Shalzav. Inside that wood box, we have a golden box, which is Shmona Tvachim, which is 8 Tvachim high. The Hachitzon and the outer box, where the wood box is going into, that outer box, Hachitzon, is Asar Tvachim Umashu. It's 10 Tvachim plus. Right, so that's right. So it fits inside, as the Pasuk says about the Atzei Shittim, it says, Mibayis Umichutz Titzapenu. From the inside and the outside, it should be covered. So you have the middle box of wood, inner and outer box is made out of gold. The Gemara says, Vatanya, you just said that the outer box was 10 Tvachim. It was Asar Tvachim Umashu. 10 Tvachim plus. But we have a Brisa that says, Acharasar Umashu. It wasn't 10 Tvachim plus. It was 11 Tvachim plus. We're off by a Tefach. So the Gemara says, Lokasha, Hakamanda Amar Yish Ba'ovio Tefach, Bahakamanda Amar She'ein Ba'ovio Tefach. It all depends on whether or not you hold that inside the base is a tefach. So if the inside is a base of a tefach, then you have another tefach eaten there. So in order to make it high enough to cover the inner box, you have to have another tefach high. So that would be 11 and a half. That's 11 plus. If you don't hold that, then it's only 10 plus. So just so that's just no. Umay mashu, and what's mashu? In other words, we said it has to be 10 or 11 tefachim plus. Right? It has to be high. What is that? The Gemara says, zer. That's for the rim, otherwise known as a crown. The zer, like a nazir, sometimes a nazir means a crown, right? That has, the pasuk says, "Vasisalav zer zoiv savim." It has a sort of crown that with this lip that goes around the outer box. There's like this lattice type crown that goes around it. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan says, "Shlosha zerim hein." There are three crowns that are made on certain kelim in the Beis Hamikdash, and what are those? There's a crown, a zar, on the Mizbeach Hazav, on the inner Mizbeach, Mizbeach Ketores, right, viz, Shel Aron, there's this crown lid around the Aron, and Shel Shulchan, you also have it on the table. So it's on the Mizbeach, the Aron, and the Shulchan. And the Gemara explains, going back, that there's three Keter. There's a Keter Kuhuna, there's a Keter Melucha, and there's a Keter Torah. So that's symbolic of the three crowns placed on three Kalim. Shel Mizbeach, well, the Mizbeach is what? Mizbeach is what Aaron does. Shel Mizbeach, Zocha Aaron Utalo. That's the Keter Kahuna that Aaron was Zocha to have, and he took that. Shel Shulchan, the Shulchan is similar to Malchus. The Shulchan is a similar to Osher, and a similar to feeding people. So that's the similar of Malchus. So that's Zocha David Utalo. That's David. That's the Keter Malucha. Shel Aaron, which is similar for the Keter Torah, Adayimunachu, that's already still, it's still sitting there, and whoever wants it can go take it. The Keter Torah is available for anyone to come and to take. It's available for anyone to grab. Shema Tomar, you might say, Pachosu. Maybe you'll say that the Keter Torah, because it's a tufkar to mufkar to everybody, as opposed to given to a specific person, therefore it has a lower level of importance. It is a lesser chashivus. Tamalomar, the Pasuk says, when it's talking about Torah, the Pasuk and Mishnah says, Bi milochim yimlochu. With it, with the Keter Torah, that's how I anoint people, right? That's how I'm mamlich the malachim with the Keter Torah, to show you that the Keter Torah, according to this, might now be even more important than the Keter Malucha and the Keter Kahuna. Okay, so now the Gemara asks, talking about the Zer. So it's written Zayin Resh, but it's read Zayin Yud Resh. So I mean it's written Zar, and it's read Zer. Right, that's what Mara says, Rabbi Yochanan Rami Ksiv Zar, without a Yud, which Zar is Mashal Lashon of being a stranger, like a Zar, and a stranger in a strange place. The Karin and Zer, and you wear it, and you call it as a Zer. So why is it described also as a Zar, as something that's strange, something that's foreign? So Zocha, if you're Zocha to learn Talmud Torah the right way, then Nasi So Zer. It makes you a Zer, it makes you a crown on you. Lo Zocha, if you deal with Torah for the wrong reasons, so Ein Lashma, yeah, and then you have the problem, because it says mitol shalol lishma balishma, to figure out what that means. But if you learn shalol lishma, then zara hemenu. Then it becomes a stranger to you, and you forget it, and it doesn't stick with you, and it becomes a stranger to you. Rabbi Yochanan Rami. Rabbi Yochanan has an apparent contradiction between psukim. Ksiv, it's written by the Luchos Shnios. It says, Ba'isah yamar Hashem elai, vasisa licha aron eitz. It says that he tells Moshe, you make a wooden ark. You make it. Uksiv, but it says back in Truma or Tzava when you're making the Malachas HaMishkan, it says Va'asu Aron Eitz HaSeishitim. They, plural, somebody else, should make the Aron out of wood. So who is this? Moshe making it, or are others making it? So the Gemara says, Mikan, from here we learn, with Talmud Chacham, Shebenei Iro, Mitzuvin, Lasos Lo Malachto. From here you see that Talmud Chacham, the people of the town, have to do his work for him. They have to clean his house, they do it, it's a command on Aaron, but the other people do it, no, sorry, it's a command on Moshe, and the other people are commanded to do the work that Moshe needs to be done. Okay. Another drasha on the Aaron. Pasuk says, right, Vitzipiso Sozav Tahor, you have to cover it with gold, Mibayisu Michutz Titzapenu. Right, so the inside and the outside. So Amar, so what is that? Baisu mechutz, from the inside and the outside has to be the same. It's the famous Gemara. Amar Rava, Kol Tami Chacham, She'ein Tocho Kibaro. Any Tami Chacham, any learned individual whose inside is not like his outside, meaning he doesn't share, he's not, his pneumius is not similar to his outerness. From the outside, he looks like a gift from God, the Tami Chacham, he's learning, but maybe the inside he's corrupt, if he doesn't have the same in the inside as well, Eino Tami Chacham, it doesn't count as a Tami Chacham. Abaye became a Rabbar Ula, they said, Nikra Nitav, now he's not a Talmud Chacham, he's called Nitav, Toeva, something disgusting, an abomination. Right, Shanae Mark, the Pasuk says in Eov, Afki Nitavin Elach, Ishosek Hamayim Avla. Right, someone who Shose the Mayim, someone who drinks the water, and Torah is compared to water, Echlu Shlosha Yomim Velo Matsu Mayim, the reason why we lane every 2-3 days, is because of Torah is compared to Mayim, and then it says, Shose Mayim, Avla, it becomes a disgusting. Even if you drink the water, it can be something disgusting, meaning if you're not Tocho Gabaro, then all the Torah that you learn is worthless. Okay. Amar Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmeni, Amar Rabbi Yonasan, Ma'idik Sir, what is the Pasuk teaching us when it says, Lama Zem Michir, Biyad Tzil, Liknos Chachma, Vilev Ayin. Like, what is this in his hand of a fool who's purchasing Chachma, that he has no heart, he has no soul? So, Oy Lahem, with so names on Tamidi Chachamim, woe is it to those who hate the Tamidi Chachamim, she'oskim b'Torah, that they learn, they toil in Torah, ve'ein b'hem Yerushimayim, they don't have Yerushimayim, even if you're learning Torah and you don't have Yerushimayim, it doesn't count for anything. Machri is Rav Yanai made this announcement, chaval al delesle darta v'tarol d'dari avid, woe is it that somebody who doesn't have a field, yet makes a fence for his field. Why are you doing that? So the same day, that's the mashal. The nimchalil is chaval on somebody who toils in Lima Torah, but he doesn't have Yerushalayim. What's the point of learning if you don't have the Yerushalayim? It's like putting a fence up when you have no field, or putting a fence up that's only goes halfway. You're not protecting anything. First you have to have the Yerushalayim, then you can do the learning. Amaluhu Rabbal Rabbanon. So Rabbi says to Rabbanon, Bimatusa minaychu, I beg from you, Lo tersun tarti gehenim. Don't be yorish to gehenim. Meaning, don't be people who have a melech with Torah and you don't have your shemayim. It doesn't stick with you, because then you're not going to get benefit in this world, because you're not going to enjoy the Torah. So you'll have gehenim in this world, and you're also not going to be yorish gan eden in the next world, because you're not learning it properly. The Torah is not going to count for you, and you will not. You'll end up in a gehenim as well. Anyway, even though you're learning, you're not doing it the right way. Amar Rabbi Shua ben Levi, Rabbi Shua says, what does the pasuk mean when it says, Zos HaTorah Asher Sam Moshe Lifnei Bnei Yisrael, that Moshe placed it before Bnei Yisrael? The question is, it should be that Moshe taught. It's Asher Limei, which is Asher Sam Moshe, right? So he says, Sam with a shin, or sin, is similar to Sam with a samach, which is like a Sam is like a medicine. He says, Zocha Nasis Lel Sam Chayim. If you're Zocha and you learn Torah properly, then the Torah becomes to you like a medicine for life. It becomes something that's good for you. But Lo Zocha, if you learn Torah the wrong way, Shlo Shema, Nasis Lel Sam Misa, becomes like a poison, and it poisons you. Vahayim De Amar Rava, so what Rava says, Du Uman La, someone who the Torah is a Uman for him, Sam Adachaya. Someone who does it Lishma, it's a Sam Adachaya. The Lo Uman La, he's not Osek Lishma, Sam Adamosa. It's a Sam Adamava, it's a poison. Again, you have to figure out what he's saying, Lishma, Lo Lishma. What does it mean? We know that the Gemara says, and we talk shalom lishma balishma, different types of lishma, different types of lo lishma. Amar Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmeni, Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmeni says, Rabbi Yonasan Rami, Rabbi Yonasan also, he asked the contradiction between two psukim. The pasuk says, Pekudei Hashem Yisharim Misam Chelev, which seems to indicate the Torah is Misameach you. Uksiv, and then the pasuk says, a little bit later, a little earlier, it says, Imras Hashem Tzerufa. Imras Hashem was the Torah, and it says, Tzerufa, which seems to indicate that it damages you. So Again, zocha misam chaso, lo zocha tzorvato. If you're zocha, you do the right way, it's going to be misamech for you. If you don't, it's like hell on earth. If you learn Gemara and you don't enjoy it, you don't do it the right way, it's no fun. Reish Lakish Amar Migufa Dekra Nafke. He says, you learn it out straight from the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Amarta Hashem Trufa. He says, Zocha Tzorfa Salachayim, lo Zocha Tzorfa Tolemisa. If you're Zocha, it's Tzorfa. Like Tzorfa is like to make, right? You make the goal, it's Tzorif, put it together. If you're Zocha, it puts you together for life. If you're not Zocha, it takes you, puts you together for Misa. Pasuk then says, Yiras Hashem Tahora Omedes La'ad. The Yiras Hashem, pure Yiras Hashem, stands forever. Amrab Chanina, Ze Halome Torah B'Tahara. This is talking about someone who learns Torah in purity. He's Mizkayim forever and ever. Right? My, he, what does that mean if you learn Torah in purity? It's Nosa Isha, the Achrach Loma Torah. Get married young. You get married young and then learn, so you don't have any of these Hirurim because you already have the wife at home. Then the Pasuk says, Eidus Hashem Ne'amana, Amrab Chaya Bar Abba. What does that mean, Ne'amana? The Eidos Hashem is Ne'mana, is truthful, it will testify for those who learn. When it comes to Yom HaDin, the Eidos Hashem, the Torah that you learn, will come and testify on your behalf when you reach Shemayim, and say who was Mekayim it, who was not Mekayim it. Okay, now let's go back a little bit back to the Aron, to the Big Day, the Big Day Kahuna. So the Big Day Kahuna, we said that they're called, at one place they're called Maisei Rokeim. That's the pasuk in Shmos, Perech Avah, pasuk Lamazayin. It says Maisei Rokeim, and then it calls it also Maisei Choshev. So what's the difference between Maisei Rokeim and Maisei Choshev? Amar Rabbi Lazar, Sherokmin b'makom shechoshvim. Seems to me what you do here is you sort of make a mold. You make the when it comes to anything that's Maisei Rokeim, you sketch I guess these pictures on the kalim, and then you would, afterwards, I guess you would come and bang it out or do something so that they would come out. That's the difference between Rokeim and Choshev. And Tanna, Mishmeder of Nechemia, they say no. Rokeim is Maise Machat. Rokeim means you knew it and you're threading with a needle. And therefore, Lefichach parts of Achad. Therefore, it only has one, it's a needle. So on the needle, only one side shows what you made. On the back is all the threading on the back. But Maise Oreg, I think Maise Oreg, that's made, you can do it, you can make, since on the loom, you can make different pictures on the front side and the back side. Right? Maise Oreg, Lefichach, Shnei Partsufos. You can have two faces on the front side and the back side. Okay, so a little bit more, right? Pasuk says, Be'elu, which means that the Kohen Gadol, who's wearing the eight clothing, the Big Day Kohuna, he's Nisha'on B'Urim Atumim. You can ask him the Urim Atumim. It's a little bit, Ki'asa Rabdimi. So Rabdimi came from Eretz Yisrael to Babel, Amar. He says, the begadim shekohen gadol mishamish behem, the clothing that the Kohen Gadol wears in the Beis HaMikdash, that's the same clothing, Meshuach Melchamash Meshamash Ben. There's also a Kohen that went out with them into battle, so that Meshuach Melchamah would also wear these eight garments when he went out with them. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says in the Pasha of the Miluim, it says, Ubigdei HaKodesh Asher LeAaron Yihilu LeBanav Acharav. Well, Acharav is extra. It says, the Big Day HaKodesh, that Aaron wore, it says it's Shiyu Libanav, it'll be for his children when they become the Kohen Gadol. What's the word L'Acharav? It's L'mi Shabab Gdula Acharav. Whoever's supposed to come afterwards to him, which means the next in line is the Meshuach Melchamah, he also is going to wear those Big Day Kahuna. Okay, the Gemara is going to ask on that tomorrow, and we'll pick up there by the Masseh, we'll pick up tomorrow. I'm not sure. I think it might. I'm not sure. I would think it would have to be